Welcome to The Complete Musician, creativity at its core, exploring innovative musical ideas, thoughts, and techniques for the modern musician in today's society, with your hosts, James Nagus and Drew Phillips.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Complete Musician Podcast. I'm Drew.
And I'm James.
And today we're coming at you with a topic that has been on my mind lately because of something that happened this past week as I was going about my morning doing a warm-up, or actually lack thereof, which inspired what I wanted to kind of discuss today.
Okay, sounds good.
So I think most people listening to this know that I teach both horn and trumpet, and some days I come into the office. An ideal day is that I warm up for the day before I start my lessons, which I start at 8 a.m., or I start lecturing at 8:15. So,
Do you start lessons at 8, or do you start your warm up at 8?
I start my lessons at 8.
Oof.
So I'm in the office by 7:15, and that's mostly because of parking. Because the parking is atrocious. No,
trust me, I understand that same situation.
So I always get to the office early anyway, but an ideal day is when I walk in and I warm up on an instrument and then I start teaching. And so for anyone who switches between horn and trumpet, I don't know if this is true for anyone else, but I can warm up on trumpet and play horn. I cannot warm up on horn and play trumpet. It doesn't work.
Interesting.
It absolutely doesn't
horn
work.
Being
I don't know why, but I can't do it.
The smallest mouthpiece and going up from there, maybe?
I play a 9D on my trumpet. Let me just go ahead and say that. It's like the smallest pea shooter nasty mouthpiece I can find, but it's small enough that I don't notice too much of a difference. Anyway, So ideal morning, I walk in and warm up. So this particular morning, this week, I got to the office a little later than I wanted to, and the first thing was a trumpet lesson. And so I pull up my instrument, and I didn't have time to warm up at all. So the student comes in, and we start working together, and I try playing a little bit, does not work. Like it's not happening.
Air muffins and just no flexibility.
It was and no range. And I was like, oh well, it's because I didn't warm up. Great. And so I just put the instrument aside. Okay, fine. I think I had to teach another trumpet lesson right afterwards, and I just decided I wasn't gonna play for that part.
Sure.
And so later on I was like, okay, well, trumpet wasn't working, and so I had a little bit of a break, and so I picked up the horn, was not working at all. Like nothing. It was terrible. And so I thought, oh, is this just one of those days? This just a bad
Did I have my water
day?
This morning? Did I sleep on my face last night? Did I practice too much?
Well, that's not the case. But why did I suddenly forget how to do everything? Which is kind of how those days feel.
Oh, it's the worst.
And so I thought about, gosh, what do we do when those days happen? What are smart things to do when those days happen? And what do we do if we're in a situation that needs us to play and those kind of feelings are happening? Because I think we've been in those situations, not often, thankfully, but I think we've had those moments where things aren't working, but you got to deliver.
Right.
So it's always advantageous to, of course, get in a great warm-up if you can. Sometimes things prevent that. Like, I got into the office a little late, and I just didn't have time with the other administrative things I had to do. Just didn't have time to do it. But then I picked up the horn, it wasn't working. So it's like we always, advise that you get in a good warm-up for safety, too. Right? For
just like athletes stretching. Also, pause the podcast for a second. If you hear a moaning in the background, no, not actually pause the podcast, but
I was actually about to press stop. Okay, I won't pause. Okay.
My dog is snoring in the background. So listeners, if you hear a snoring noise, I promise I'm not bored at Drew's talking. It's not
me. Hilarious. That's amazing.
So just to explain,
my daughter doesn't do that, but
Yeah. It's Brianna for sure.
Definitely.
Sorry, go ahead. But yes, we need to stretch because we don't want to injure ourselves.
Right. And so that's always advantageous. But some days, even after a good warm-up, things just aren't working. Like, they just don't work. And I think it's really random a lot of times. Like, why doesn't it work? So what are some things that we can do if – we'll think just generally first, like, we've all heard our students come into lessons, or maybe, and I think, I know we both have felt this way, is you go into a practice room and you're like, I want to work on whatever. You have these goals, you have these things you want to do, and then just things feel stiff and just not happening the day like it did previous or whatever. What are some good strategies to combat that?
That's a good question. Do you want to just maybe go back and forth a little bit? I can start.
Yeah, give some ideas. Yeah.
Because this is happens to me a lot. Me this too. Is happens to me a lot. That is a
this
good
is
sentence.
To lot to me.
Why say many word when few word do trick?
What right. is that from?
The Office. It's Kevin.
That's why. Someone said it in a class earlier this week as a lecture. Okay, that's what it is. I was like, caveman speak. Okay, I heard it somewhere. Anyway, okay, keep going.
So I find that if I'm feeling especially stiff or if I don't have a good warm-up, just playing in the low register is the first like door or gateway to having flexibility in the upper register, because I think it forces us to be relaxed in our face and use our air well. And those are the main things that if we're not using our air, that's oftentimes why nothing works, because we're not getting vibration from our embouchure. So just relaxing everything, removing tension, and just doing some either low range exercises or some Bordonis or some Shoemaker. That's kind of one of my go-tos if I'm feeling super stiff and nothing is responding, which then again, sometimes then you get air muffins in the low register.
Yeah.
But usually once you just take articulation out of the equation, just blow.
That's good.
Helps too.
I think so. I think going to, when things don't feel good, going to slurring for a lot of your first initial playing to try and get things moving is a good strategy. Just get the tongue out of the way. Lots of lyrical playing is really helpful. One thing that I also do is, I know maybe you wouldn't be a fan of this, or maybe some people wouldn't, but I go to the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
And I buzz really loudly.
Sure.
Buzz really, really loudly, because most of the time when I feel stiff, it's that the lips feel swollen and like they're not vibrating. Mm-hmm. And so if I can go to the mouthpiece and produce a big sound there, I put it on the instrument and it usually results in better response. Usually.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like mouthpiece buzzing too. I think where we differ is that you have just a better defined free buzz than I do. So for your free buzz is more functional than mine. But I will say that I do sometimes, and this is, I guess, now when you know that you're going to have maybe stiffness or you don't have time for a warm up, what can you do before? Which is like when I'm driving to work, I'll do face stretches or I'll free buzz just to get the lips flapping, really.
It's just movement. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely. And I honestly, I don't think when I'm stiff, honestly, I will say that free buzz, I don't think actually helps that much, because it is so far removed from the instrument. So I do turn to mouthpiece more so in that situation. I will turn to that. Free buzz is great and I do love doing it, but not for the intention of getting response on the instrument when I'm not feeling great.
Right. Because mouthpiece buzzing, I mean, it doesn't remove partials. It's just that we're sitting so low in the overtone series that we don't, we're not slotting on the mouthpiece, right?
Right. No.
So you have flexibility, which is just making everything connected, which I think is some of the therapeutic properties of that. It's just like you're literally stretching, which
is
great.
That's true. What else do you do?
When I'm feeling super stiff, I make sure that sometimes, and this is, I guess one of the questions is that do we have a time constraint, or is this like I need to play in an hour, how am I going to kickstart things?
We'll get to that in a second, because I think there's a different process I go through when I know I have to play and I don't feel great, because that's situational. I think I'm thinking like you're going to go practice or like you go warm up for the day and it's not happening.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess generally. Maybe I was going to say my response for those two sides of the coin are similar, just in different kind of levels, is I just make sure that I play and then rest and then play and then rest, just because I know that if I play something and then give myself a chance, just a couple of minutes, when I come back, things will start feeling better, rather than just trying to like, oh, I gotta just smash the horn in my face and play until it starts working.
I think that is a great idea, and a great thing to note is that once you play for a little bit, even if things aren't feeling great, putting it down and just waiting a little bit. I mean, mm-hmm. and it's not even too long.
Like, just go like 5 to 10 scroll minutes. On your social media for a little bit or do some emails or something.
Doom scroll for a few minutes yeah. and then come back to it. No, that is really helpful. Like, just, you know, just giving it a few minutes, because just those few minutes, I don't know what it is, like what magical properties happen, but it's just, it works. It gets better. It definitely gets better after a little bit. So I think that's really great advice, is putting it down and doing in small intervals. Is a good mm-hmm. idea, you know, when things aren't working. My next piece of advice is, if it really similar to that, but in a more extended fashion, is before frustration sets in, put the horn down and walk away.
Right. Sometimes just, the best thing to do is just put it back in the case for just a little bit or set it down, right?
And frustration helps no one. You never, I can't imagine a time that I play better when angry. You know, like, you know, like if you get, you're trying to play, you know, you're trying to play Strauss 2 and those high B flats aren't coming out. I don't go, I am going to play this well, dang it. And then you like that is not a thing that has ever worked for me, because then I start instituting all these other terrible habits that come into my playing, like pressure. And then I get tense and then I just get
mad.
So frustration is never the answer. And before you get to that point, it's kind of like classroom management. If you're an educator, you don't have to discipline your classroom and put out fires if there's no fire to put out. So if you, before you get frustrated.
So you're saying to light a fire.
I'm saying definitely light the horn on fire.
Okay.
That cures all problems. Then you may have another set, but at least you don't have to worry about playing anymore, right?
That's right.
You don't have to worry about playing. No bad chops anymore. It doesn't matter. No, before you get frustrated, just put the horn away and just come back to it later, because a lot of times later, it gets way better. So many times. That happens to me. So let's now think situationally, like you were saying, if you have to play. I think we've both experienced this. I know I experienced this right now in my orchestra, because we always rehearse on the morning of a concert and then we play that night. Mm-hmm. And there are so many times, especially in an intense week of rehearsal, that morning rehearsal feels just terrible.
Oh, absolutely.
And I have told, and if my conductor is listening, he knows I hate this. He knows it. I've told him, please get rid of the morning rehearsal. I will die on that hill. Please get rid of the morning rehearsal. Especially the last one I can think of that was awful was when we played Pulcinella and Beethoven 7. Mm. I did not want to play that. And of course, we run it.
Right.
I do not want to run it that morning. And that morning, I felt awful. Mm-hmm. My chops felt awful. And I went into the concert that night with lower confidence than I would have if I'd have gotten the day to do something relaxed and not had such an intense week of rehearsal. I know that's reality. I get that. And I know why orchestras do that. I get it. It's just not great for the player. And so sometimes we have to deal with what happens if you have to play in, you know, an hour, or like I arrived at the venue to warm up like 45 minutes, 30 before, and things, I start noodling on the horn and it's just not working. Mm-hmm. Or it's just not as comfortable as I'm used to it feeling. So what do you do in that situation? I'll go ahead and say one of the things that I like to do if I'm not feeling great and I know I have to deliver is I don't play as softly anymore.
Okay. You take just focus all on your air. You just push your sound.
I take all my soft dynamics up. It may not be exactly how sensitively I want to play, but when you got to deliver, you got to deliver. And it's just so I take all of it up. And playing, you know, loudly is tiring in its own thing. But I'm not saying even play loudly. I'm taking saying pianos in the high register. No way. I'm going to take it up because I got to make it happen. So that's one of the first things I throw away when I know response or things feel stiff, is I'm like, soft dynamics that I want to play at. Maybe
not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. So I got to make it happen. So that's my first piece of advice, is throw away your need and your perfectionist quality of, oh, I must play piano to, no, make it happen. Right. Do what you got to do.
Well, and I think just an interesting point to continue along that line is that I feel like there's this, not necessarily a threshold, but let's say a continuum from soft playing to extreme loud playing, where on either edge, the super soft playing, I guess the fallacy is that if you're tired and you want to conserve, playing softer will help your endurance, when actually you end up working a lot harder and you use less air, and then the load is on your chops, which just makes things worse.
It's more tiring, exactly.
On the flip side, if you're blasting your face off, then your lips are just like smacking against each other, literally, and that's going to wear you out too. And I mean, that's not probably a good sound. So there's like this middle ground of the sweet spot where you're moving your air and it's actually making your face work less, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, so what you're saying is, you know, you're pushing your sound. It's like, well, that, you're just taking the workload off of your musculature, and putting it in your air.
So maybe your boundary of extreme dynamics when things aren't feeling great goes a little bit inward on the continuum. It's not as extreme on both ends to just make it happen.
But then again,
had to do that, I think.
There's philosophies too on just what appropriate dynamic levels are for projection in different settings. And I mean, as long as you're not having to play the Brahms horn trio or something that has, I think, some of the more subtlety and other things, or like some Baroque concerto.
I only play Blastissimo on Brahms. I don't know what you're talking about. And Baroque, when I play Brandenburg in a few weeks, oh no, it's going to be blasting the whole time. Sensitivity, gentleness, that is not what Bach intended.
That's not what they did back in the day. They didn't have...
No.
They just had an on and off switch, I think is how it worked.
Pretty sure, yeah.
Okay, so I guess some other things, let's see, that I do if I have to play. Well, one is just trusting the process. And the a more unhelpful tip, I guess, is just learning to work on your consistency in terms of making sure that you play at a regular interval that's not too much and not too little, and, you know, staying hydrated and getting up in enough hours in advance of the first thing you have to play for your face to actually wake up and
the
your mind
factors
to wake up too.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, survival kit, you know, break glass in case of emergency. I think it's the same kind of advice I had before. Is there's, I don't know, for me, I find like if I can push sound on a G below the staff, then my face is working in the entire range. So that singular note, I will kind of work my way into that range. I'll do this like kind of Batman or Rocky Bullwinkle, like that kind of thing, getting down into that note. And like, I'm not going to play Shasti 5 excerpt. I'm not going to blast that whole thing. But if I can dial in what my airspeed needs to be in that range, for some reason, it just works. It opens up the whole other range. And then, so you do that, you put the horn down, we go about your business, come back, stretch up. And as long as you're methodical in stretching up and doing it the right way, which is really connected in the same way like you're talking about buzzing, you will stretch and you will... It's like trusting the process, I suppose. So it's finding that routine that works.
Yeah, I wonder if that G is really nice. Like if you find that that's a place that you can project, like the rest of it works. I wonder if it's because it's in that, like... I call it the barf range. You know?
Oh, it's
like
that's the hardest range. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if it's because that's the hardest to, I think, produce big sound on and produce, or one of the harder ranges to produce big sound on and produce good vibration on with a good sound, like a tone. Mm-hmm. And so once that frees up, I think that's really good. And certainly the next time I am not feeling great, maybe I'll noodle around and hang out in that area for a while and see if I can really get that to speak. And if so, maybe that'll help flexibility and help the tone and the rest of it with good vibration.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, it's what I call, if I do that in the mouthpiece, I call it like massaging the area. Or like if you have a break zone, that's something that I do too, is I figure where my break is, which for me is actually E and F in the staff, which is great because we never need to use those notes.
Never.
So I'll take my mouthpiece and I'll buzz in and around those notes until I can get them to speak. And get things to not have a break and to be even. And that also helps. So it's just kind of like addressing, and which is, again, just flexibility. It's really what we're doing. Yeah. Flexibility coupled with air.
Yeah.
And seems to work.
I think that's great advice. And maybe if anyone listening hasn't tried that when things are stiff, maybe hanging out, like you said, on the mouthpiece in that break area, or even just on the horn, like in the barf range. If you can get good sound and good vibration there, maybe it'll help.
I'm going to write you a piece that's called Entering the Barf Range. And it's just...
It would be the most inaccurate piece for me of all time.
AKA the Noiling Bagatelle 2.0.
Compose. That's right. That would be great. That's the perfect piece for me. It's my favorite range to play in, and I just, that would be my magnum opus. Mm-hmm. Right there. Yeah,
that's it.
Written for me. Mm-hmm. All sarcastic in all of that. I think that's great advice, and I'll certainly do that next time. Maybe someone else will do it too, to find that, like you said, massaging the area. It's a great idea. Mm-hmm. And then taking, like we said, regular intervals and stuff like that. And then you listed the other factors that go into playing that are really great to think of. So you hopefully minimize these days, like, you know, staying hydrated, having a really good diet. I mean, that's like, you know,
it that, really does work though. It's really important.
Sleep. You know, did you ever get into a situation, maybe when you're in school, when we were all lacking on sleep because we'd spend the night playing video games or just kind of hanging out with people?
I don't
whatever.
Know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. So when you did your daily 30, did you ever find that you actually played, I wouldn't say better, but felt sometimes better when you got little sleep? Did you ever feel that? I feel like I got into those phases where I felt like if I slept too much, it's kind of like taking a nap in the middle of the day. Your sharps sure. never work good.
The nap phase. TM. That was the thing.
I feel like there were some nights that I'm like, I got 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and then suddenly my chops were kind of still warmed up
yeah.
the next day.
Yeah. Just kind of a flow. Yeah. I don't know what the optimal amount of time between playing is. So maybe if you played at like 9 or 10 p.m., then you had to play at 8, you know, so something like 10 hours. Maybe that's the optimal amount for recovery without being too much where you start losing finesse.
Yeah. But we do not advocate. Do not only get 4 hours of sleep because you stay permanently warmed up. That is terrible. That is terrible advice, and we would not give it. We're doctors, but we do not give that advice. It's awful.
That is
so
correct.
Get good sleep, also for just general health. Staying hydrated, getting up early is, I think, a big thing. Earlier than you know you need to produce, because it does help. I don't know why, but it does every time.
Well, and also just like giving yourself a chance to wake up. Like these days, you know, I usually get in the office around 8, a little bit past 8. I wake up at 5:50 or 6 a.m. Just so I can have an hour to drink coffee and to just get things going without rushing myself. And I think that whole kind of that time to rehydrate and to get your brain going, that also just allows you to play better because you have focus. And the other thing I was going to add too is I actually don't do this as much, but I know a lot of people that swear by it, is just simple brief stretches and breathing exercises to loosen up and to get air moving. Because for a lot of people, it's just their air is trapped in the morning. Yeah. Which causes, 90% of problems on the horn or brass instruments or whatever to happen if we're not using our air well. So that would be another thing to suggest. Maybe in those rest times between playing, it's just to loosen up and to do some breathing exercises.
Yeah, slow things down a little bit and get in touch with the air coming out of your body.
Zen meditation of sorts, perhaps.
Yeah, I think those are all really good suggestions. So, you know, recapping some of this, if you're having one of those days where you just walk into the practice room and you're like, man, it is just feeling, it ain't feeling like it did yesterday, and you want to have, you know, accomplish some goals, you have some things you have to learn and have to really shed on, then think about some of the stuff that we've thought about, like making sure to the extra factors of hydrating, eating well, sleeping well, all those kind of things. We'll assume that those are, we'll say that those are under control, and you just walk in and things aren't working. Take things slow on this. I think the putting the horn down and walking away either for the rest of the morning until you actually have to play or just in small intervals, it really does help. Something, you know, kind of clicks usually after you take just a little bit off. I like what you said about massaging the area and then maybe those specific ranges, you know, on the mouthpiece and then in on just the instrument. If we're thinking horn specifically, it could apply to all instruments though, especially all brass. You just find that area that you can play in and get a good tone and vibration on that's maybe a little bit more challenging, could loosen up the rest of the horn on that. And then the other thing I would add to this is you said trust the process. And I think about that when it comes to respiration and confidence too, like not getting into a negative headspace. So we talked about frustration, like don't get frustrated. If you start to feel yourself going to that frustration, anger route, doom scroll for a few minutes, I don't know, sit and plink notes out and on the piano or play a game, like something, like get away from that negative space. Try not to let the thought of this is a bad day enter your head, because I think a lot of musicians go through that phase where I certainly did when I was an undergrad. If I had a bad playing day, I had a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was accounting so much of my playing, because I cared about it, into who I was. And maybe not everyone deals with that. I certainly did. I certainly know players who deal with that too. So try to get away from the mental space of being negative about just playing in general. Try and be really positive, realizing you get to do this. It's an opportunity to continue working and playing, and hopefully it's fun and enjoyable. Music can be fun,
right?
So,
And you know, I was also thinking we may have discussed this already on a different episode a while ago. I don't remember, but the topic of let's say, and this is getting a little bit away from like the, you know, I need to play soon, what do I do? But the mm-hmm. I'm not playing well, what do I do? That mm-hmm. scenario, mm-hmm. which is ways to practice without playing the horn. Because if you have a practice
session,
we
talked about this.
Yeah. You can still get better. Like there's a lot of things you can do to use the time, if that's the only time you have, to still grow as a musician, even if you don't literally put the mouthpiece to your face. But we can go back and find whichever episode number that
was. It was a summer episode, I think, because I think we were talking about we haven't unpacked our horns in a while, but yet we're still trying to be better musicians. So what were we doing?
Yeah.
I think it was one of those. So yeah, it's definitely back there. Go and see about what things you can do to increase your musicianship and your quality as a performer, even without so much of playing in your extremes or woodshedding on the instrument. There's so many things you can do other than that. And if you need suggestions, just ask us, because we have a ton of different strategies that we tell our students about to do that.
And I don't know about you, I've also tried a bunch of stuff that doesn't work, so we can share that too.
Absolutely. Trial and error, and a lot of error. So we can talk about the errors. I think I have the next topic for our next podcast.
Okay.
Because, and I'll just
do like a little cliffhanger.
Yeah, I'll teaser it here.
Okay.
Because we kind of got into it about what is Colton snoring?
Oh, he's been snoring the whole time. You'll hear just little whines on the recording,
I'm
sure.
I'm so excited to put this together. So we talked about what you have to do when you have to produce. Mm-hmm. And I think for a little bit of levity, there have been occasions, both of us have experienced, I know we've talked about, where things have not worked, but we've had to play, and we've had to play well. I think it would be, in both performances, auditions, all those kind of things, I think it would be really interesting to share some of our weirdest, maybe not bad playing, but like weirdest audition experiences.
Bad playing, too.
Performance. Well, but maybe, but like, even so far as to thinking like, oh gosh, I had to go play this audition and things weren't working. Or again, branching off into like, well, thinking back, like that was really weird. Because we both done weird like auditions and performances and things
concerts.
That's like, huh? Yes. So I think our next podcast should be about weird performing experiences. And honestly, like what sometimes real life is actually like when you're a gigging musician.
Right.
And like what the things you can expect are and how to kind of roll with the punches when you have these odd situations come up, like playing for llamas and like playing with, yeah, like that's, I'll tease
sight
that
reading
story.
Concerts.
That.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do. And we will share that story or orchestral auditions that. That's a teaser. We won't say anymore,
okay.
But next time we'll talk about our weird performing experiences just for some fun and share some of the things that honestly you never know you might be faced with.
Sounds good. I can't wait.
Cool. Well, thanks you all for listening. That's going to do it for our episode. If you want to contact us, we have an email at coremotohorn@gmail.com. You also know how to find us on, as James calls it,
the socials. Social medias.
The socials. the social medias. You know how to find us.
Be well, everyone.